Second Peter, if you would, please. Chapter 1. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I'm just going to read these first 8 verses of Second Peter chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read responsively tonight. I think that would help the message go along. And we'll read verses 1 through 8. So I'll start in verse 1. You can join me in verse 2. And then, of course, the rest of the even verses through verse 8. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For tonight, I do want to give you just a little bit of a taste or an idea of what the kids are going through with camp. And then I'm going to give you just a small preview of the message that the kids are going to hear tomorrow. And from me. But on Monday night, Brother Winkle, down in a Bible Baptist Church of Rendon, he was able to talk to the kids about the God that answereth by fire. And of course, I was poking Brother Dart because some nice preacher up in this area just preached from that passage of scripture in 1 Kings 18. I was teasing Brother Dart. I said, I think Brother Winkle is watching our Facebook video. And he laughed. But it was good. Brother Winkle, of course, I told you before that with every passage of scripture, you can go about 100 different directions a lot of times. And of course, not in interpretation, but application. And he talked about the purifying fire, the revealing fire, and the everlasting fire that are mentioned in scripture. On Tuesday, the kids were encouraged to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and to have faith in God. And a little acronym was applied to the word faith: forsaking all, I trust him. And that was a devotion in the morning. And then Brother Tristan Bussard, who is the assistant youth pastor at Trinity Baptist Church, he talked about the potter. And the verses in Jeremiah 18 about the potter in the potter's house. And that's not the church over in Dallas that he was talking about. But rather that molding clay needs liquid, he mentioned. And that liquid that he mentioned was, one of them was the blood of Christ, which worketh salvation in us. And another was the water of the Word of God. And helps make us moldable, right? A lost person is not moldable, are they? But once they're saved, they are. And once they get into the Bible, they are. That the clay must surrender to the potter, and that the vessel should be used for what the potter designed it to be used for, not what the vessel wants to be used for. And so he was encouraging the kids to go that direction with their lives. And then last night, brother Jeff York over in at Lakeland Street Baptist Church in Haltom City, he talked about do something about it. He was encouraging the kids to be doers. He actually called them a get up and go getter, and instead of a sit down and sideline setter. And he was going on about the Christian life and doing something now, getting others to do things and provide solutions instead of saying one day I'm going to, or criticizing others that are doing. and or whining, complaining why they can't do it. So he was encouraging the kids to have that kind of life. And then, brother, you say that's a lot. This is a lot of people. Yeah, it's camp. We try to get the word of God in these kids exponentially, and it's a good time. Brother Bo York reviewed the story of David and Goliath with the kids this morning, and pointed out several different things. Of course, there's an enemy. There's a hero. There's always critics. There's the preparation, and then there's a cause, and there's a victory. And he talked to the kids about how they can win the victory through God and what he wants in their lives. And then a youth pastor from, I guess it's Higher Plain Baptist Church now in Oklahoma City, Brother Saladin, he talked about not living in the spirit of fear. And what a joy to have him talk to the kids about that God has given us tools to overcome fear, power, love, and a sound mind. And he wants us to overcome fear, not to be afraid. And the biggest fear, he said, that people deal with is the fear of the unknown. And that is so true. But when there's unknowns, there's power from God. When there's unknowns, there's love, the love of God. When there's unknowns, there's a sound mind resting in God and what he has done for us. I don't know who's... I don't even know who's preaching tonight and or what they're going to say, but I told Brother Dart to take some notes for me. And but I want to talk to you just a little bit about this thing. And I'm going to talk to the kids tomorrow about the right kind of fuel for your fire. The right kind of fuel for your fire. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Simon Peter is talking to people that have fire. You're saved. If you're saved, you have that fire burning in you. If you're not saved, there's no fire. Okay? So saved, fire. Not saved, no fire. All right, everybody get that? And so we have this fire. Something has been kindled in us. Something has been lit in us. And that something is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to heaven. We do get to go to heaven. We don't have to go to hell. Christ saved us. He's given us a fire. And he's started something in us. How many of you have ever tried or attempted to start a fire? Okay, now hopefully a legal one. You're not an arsonist or anything like that. We don't want that. But it takes a little bit of work and effort and a little bit of know-how to start a fire. Everybody okay with that? Right? Can I say this? It takes a little bit of work, a little effort, and a little know-how to get saved. Yeah. And I'm not talking works. I'm talking about God working on you. The Holy Spirit prodding and convicting your heart and bringing you to salvation. Can I tell you something? It cost a little bit to provide salvation for us. Didn't it? You know, unless you get free wood, wood costs money, right? Matches cost money. Paper costs money. I mean, just different things. I try to go as cheap as I can when I'm trying to start a fire because I'm just going to burn it up. I don't want to pay for a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to burn up. But you know what? It takes time and effort to get that fire going. So once you get a fire going, what's the goal? To keep it going, right? Until you're done with it, right? When you're done with the fire, you put it out and that's it. Okay? And listen, so don't you think that since God has started in us, like it says here in chapter 1, in verse 1, that this like precious faith has been obtained, they are saved, they have this fire lit in them, don't you think that God wants to keep it going? And shouldn't the believer want to keep it going? Absolutely. And see, That's the thing that they kind of spawned the idea of this thing, fuel the fire. We got a bunch of kids that are good kids, growing up in church, but we want them to learn to fuel the fire that's in them for God and for right. And so we're looking here through 2 Peter chapter 1, and he says, grace and peace in verse 2 be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He says, hey, you have everything that you need to keep the fire going. Yeah. Everything you need to keep the fire going. I've given you everything through the knowledge of God. And through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. And he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hey, do we not have all we need to keep the fire going? Yeah, it's all right here. It is right here. Now, are we going to have to do a little bit of, put a little effort into getting it prepared to put on the fire? Well, sure. Hey, look around. There are trees everywhere, right? Or a lot of places. But those trees aren't just going to come up out of the ground and jump into your fire. Okay, right? You got to cut them down. You got to cut them up. Brother Camp's been working on this a little bit. You got to split them. And then, you know, really, green wood doesn't burn very well. More smolders and smokes than anything. And can I tell you something? You got to let it cure a little bit. You got to stack it up the right way. And you got to keep it covered. And there's a lot of preparation. Hey, can I tell you? You gotta do a little bit of cutting and trimming and splitting and to get the fuel ready for the fire. And see, in our lives, doesn't it say that we're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth? Yeah, we gotta split the wood. Split the wood for the fire. You said, Brother Combs, no preacher in the world has ever equated this passage of scripture to fueling the fire. Well, now you've heard one. Okay? It makes sense to me. It doesn't it? You're like, no, it doesn't, Brother Combs. You're crazy. That's all right. We're going to get a little crazier. Now, look at verse 3. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what this says to me? That we are given these promises that we can care for this fire in our life. God wants us to be able to partake of the divine nature. He wants our fire to burn bright in this dark world. He wants it to be the right kind of fire. He wants it to be a shining light to all those that will see it. And they'll know that God is in us and in our lives. Hey, aren't fires kind of nice? Now, granted, I'm not talking about the kind that destroy forests and buildings and things like that. I'm talking about, you know, maybe a nice campfire or a nice fire to cook on or something like that. But a fire that's of particular value, just like you and I are of particular value to God. And these fires, they need to be cared for. They need to be fed the right kind of fuel for the fire. So let's just say you are like me, which I hope you're not too much like me, but maybe just a little bit. I like things cooked over wood. Wood fire. Okay, I can say this because Brother Darsh not here. I'm not a charcoal guy. Okay, I'm not even a gas grill kind of guy. I am a real wood fire guy. That's the kind of guy I am.
There's just something about that wood fire and what it does to a steak. Glory, hallelujah. Okay? Or even chicken or even fish. I mean, you get a piece, nice piece of salmon out there in a wood fire. I mean, why are we doing here? Let's go. Right? But let me tell you something. The fire needs to be cared for and properly taken care of, right? But can I tell you something? It needs the right kind of fuel. The right kind of fuel. If I start putting stuff that doesn't belong in the fire, it's not going to be the right kind of fire for cooking food. Everybody okay with that? Yeah. If I start throwing in treated lumber. Okay, who would like to have a treated lumber steak? Yeah, no thank you. You say, well, it's wood, Brother Combs. Why not? Because it's got a bunch of chemicals in it that you don't want in your food, let alone in your body. Okay? What if I just go get a bunch of magazines and recycled plastic and I throw that in the fire? That'll burn. Well, sure it'll burn. But have you ever burnt plastic before? Yeah, that's not good. Okay? What if I go over and, hey, they're replacing the railroad ties over here on the tracks. Let's get some big old, those railroad ties, they'll burn a long time. Yeah, okay. Just like the treated lumber, I don't want a creosote sandwich. Okay? No, thank you. That's not the right kind of fuel. Now, I know Brother Dart doesn't do this. And Brother Dart, I'm talking about you tonight because you're not here. You will watch it later online. Can I tell you something? How many of you have ever had the charcoal briquette burger? Yeah. Where your burger tasted like a charcoal briquette. Okay? It was burnt, crunchy, and tasted like lighter fluid. Yeah. No, thank you. Okay? I don't want to put that in my mouth. All right. Why? The wrong kind of fuel. Does everybody understand? Am I belaboring this too much? Hey, the wrong kind of fuel gives a bad taste to the food if you're going to cook with fire. Hey, listen, in our lives, the wrong kind of fuel puts a bad taste in the mouth of God with our life and what we produce. Is that not true? Oh, it's very true. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hey, the wrong kind of fire produces a bad taste. I'm sorry, it's the right kind of fire, wrong kind of fuel, produces a bad taste in the mouth of God. Look in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He says, hey, if this happens in your life, the wrong fuel is in your life, and you're not going to be able to please God with what you produce. You can't do it. What is this fuel that's being put in our fire that gives a bad taste to God? Look at here. It says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are those immoral type sins, if you will. And then you have idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hey, these things are not the things that God wants to taste the residue of in your life. If the fire of your life is fueled with the works of the flesh, if the fire of your life is fueled with sin, if the fire of your life is filled with your own pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If it's fueled with those things, it's going to produce a bad taste in the mouth of God. God doesn't want to taste that. He doesn't want that kind of steak. He doesn't want that kind of hamburger from the fire of your life. No, no. He wants something different. If you keep reading here, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the kind of fuel that he wants to use for your fire, so that it'll be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. You see, folks, God wants us to have the kind of life that will produce something that is pleasing to him. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, a lot of this is kind of the introduction. But I do think that we're able to get across the point here. That we do have a fire. That God started in us through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we're born again. And we ought to add to that fire the right kind of fuel to be acceptable to His taste. Everybody can agree with that so far, can't we? So here are the things He tells us to add to our fire. You say, in verse 5, Brother Combs, it doesn't say add to your fire. It says add to your faith. Well, your faith, your salvation is what we're calling your fire, okay? And so that's what we're calling it, because we want to add to it, and we want to use this illustration to really knock it home that this is part of our life. I mean, when I'm out there and I'm deciding what I'm going to use in my fire, I'm very careful about what kind of wood I pick. Did you know that different woods even taste different? You say, what? What do you do, pick them up and chew on them? No. I mean, you cook with any kind of a nut wood, okay? Oak, pecan, you know, hick. You're going to get that kind of nutty type, earthy type flavor out of it. Mesquite has a bit of a bitter taste. Anybody ever eaten a mesquite pod? Okay, yeah. They're bitter, aren't they? Yeah? Okay, I think so. I tasted one once. It was bitter, okay? You get something like an apple wood or a peach wood. It kind of has a sweetness to it. You don't cook with pine unless you like pine sol. your burger will, but you understand they produce different things. You know, they say that if you want to cook with pork or chicken, you ought to use something like a peach or an apple wood or something like that. Anybody ever had some good old apple wood smoked bacon, right? Yeah, okay. There's a reason why they use that, okay? Because it pairs well with that wood. What I like to do when I get a fire going, I like to start with oak. You know what's great about oak? It burns consistently. Yeah, it gives a consistency to the fire and allows me to maintain a temperature. And you know what I like to finish off my fire with when I'm cooking? Am I making you hungry? Okay, good. I can start with that oak. I got that good bed of oak going on there. And then I like to throw a bit of pecan on top. Pecan has just a smooth, smoky flavor to it. I just love pecan. And boy, that just works. And then, of course, if you get that pecan cooked steak and then have some pecan pie for supper afterwards, it just makes it even better. Okay? Even better. But can I tell you something? God is interested in what your life produces. And He says, add to your faith virtue. Go over to Proverbs 31. You probably have heard this a bunch of times. The recording of the virtuous woman. But the Bible says that this is something that is rare. Something that is not found very often, if you will. Who can find in verse 10 a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchants of merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in understanding what virtue is. But you know what Solomon said? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And really, virtue is having that kind of integrity and that kind of life that is pleasing to God. We're supposed to add to our faith, virtue. You see, back in verse 3, God did say that he hath called us to glory and virtue. He wants us to live the right kind of life. He wants us to be diligent about the things of this life, not being slothful, not being wasteful. And a lot of times, you look at someone who does not have any virtue, they don't have anything. Remember the verse in the Bible that says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, right? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to fill our life with virtuous things, with holy things, with godly things, and with things that are pleasing to the Lord, so that when it burns in our fire, it produces what God wants it to produce. He says, in continuing on in verse 5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, I do not have time to develop all of these completely, but can I tell you something? Knowledge is something that God wants us to get. Just go right back up here and look at what he says in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Over and over again, in Psalms and Proverbs, it talks about the righteous and the righteous man, the wise man, the prudent man. These are all that gain knowledge. The knowledge of God. And can I tell you something? Virtue burns really well in our fire. And it's a pleasing thing to the Lord. Knowledge burns really well in our fire. And it's a pleasing thing to the Lord. He goes on in verse 6 and says, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance. You know what? Temperance is akin to self-control. Yeah. A lot of times, even in Scripture, temperance has a lot to do with gluttony and drunkards. It does. Yeah. You know what? We need to be temperate. But what is all that really saying? We need to balance things in our lives. We need balance in our life. When you put that log of balance or temperance in your life on your fire, it's a good thing for your fire. It burns really well in that fire. You could, if you'd like to, you can look up Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Remember, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat? Yeah, he was being temperate. He was following God's laws for his life. Galatians 5:23, it talks about temperance. We read that one already. Being a fruit of the Spirit. Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 8. And then in 1 Corinthians 9 and verses 25 through 27, the Apostle Paul talks about temperance being one of the things that we need in our life. We need to have some balance and to be able to say no to some things in our life. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to eschew evil, if you will, like Job did. I'm going to push it away. I'm not going to choose to do that. That's temperance in our life. Then he says, add to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience. You know what? The Bible says we're supposed to let patience have her perfect work. Over in, I do not have time, but over in Isaiah and Ecclesiastes and 2 Thessalonians, you can read about patience and how patience is one of those things that God works in our life. He works patience in our life. How does he do that? Well, through trials, through tribulations, through difficult circumstances. Remember what Isaiah 40:31 says? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, right? You know that verse, don't you? Yeah. They shall run and not be weary, right? They shall walk and not faint. Yeah. Hey, we need to learn to wait on the Lord, don't we? We need to have patience in our life. A lot of times we get to going way too fast and we get the cart ahead of the horse, right? And we end up in a bunch of trouble. Yeah. Hey, why don't you just take a step back and let God do his work? Can I tell you something about cooking with a fire and the right kind of fuel? You got to have patience. Oh, yeah. It's really easy to go out there and flip on the propane, crank it up, and poof, fire. Now we're grilling, right? Yeah. Hey, that's instant gratification. That's great. But if you want a really good steak, we got to start that fire a couple of hours earlier and get those coals going really well. Add that finishing pecan to it and get that temperature up there where you can barely run your hand across there. And you're like, ooh, yeah, it's time. And you just take that steak and it just gets on that grill and it goes. That's one of the most wonderful sounds I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. And you can smell that beautiful wood. It's wonderful. And that's what God's saying when this fuel is added to our fire. Very quickly, and I'll be wrapping this up here. But patience, we gotta wait on God, folks. We can't get ahead of him. And listen, when we get in a hurry, that's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to get in a hurry about it. He wants us to wait on him. He says, add to your faith, all these things to your patience. Add to your patience, godliness. You know what? Really and truly, godliness is one of those woods that you can't find very much. You know, there are certain types of wood out there that are less available than other types, right? Yeah. You know what? This thing of godliness, it's fading away, even among Christians. Yeah, it is. It's fading away. To be like God. To have the mind of God. Now, over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it talks about people being godly. In chapter 6 and verse 6 of same book, 1 Timothy, about people being godly. Turn your Bibles, if you will, just really quick. It's just a few chapters over to 2 Timothy and chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12. Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, and he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, how can that be a good piece of wood for my fire? Didn't you see what he said? It's to the glory of God. God delivered him out of those things to his glory. Don't you remember what Paul said about that thorn in the flesh that bothered him? He said, I would rather glory in my afflictions that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, hey, it's okay. We're going to endure these things, and it's going to be a sweet-smelling savor to our God. Oh, back over in 2 Peter, he says, add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. What the one verse that comes to mind that's the easiest to represent this particular fuel for our fire is, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:32. And if you know the song, it's doo-doo-doodly-doo, Ephesians 4:32. We teach that to the kids. And help them remember the Bible verse. But can I tell you something? This is a fuel that we can add to our fire that will allow us to produce something that God would want out of our life. And then he says, and brotherly kindness, charity. Now, if you want to, just take some time this week and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It talks all about charity. Okay? Now, that's a big suitcase to unpack. All right? What do you mean? There's a lot in that chapter. All right? But basically, he says, if I have all these things and have not charity, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Nothing. Why do you suppose... Oh, and by the way, if you'll notice, if you do not count faith because... And you shouldn't, because he says, and add to your faith. That means you already possess it. That fire's already going. There are 7 fuels for your fire. Interesting. I like numbers. Y'all like numbers? Yeah. 7's God's number of completion, perfection. Seems to me that the Bible says something about that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He wants us complete, folks. He wants our fire complete. He wants us to add to our fire. Add this fuel to your fire, and it will be a sweet-smelling savor to God. In closing, just go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, on our Wednesday night services, we do not have as much time. I was a little bit bold in writing this message because I knew I had an hour to preach, not just 35 minutes. So you guys got the shortened version tonight, but I do think it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. And it's always good to get to practice. Amen. Yes, and that's for me. But it is good for us to hear that we do have a fire to be fueled, just like the teenagers do. And my heart is not just on the teenagers, and I don't think that God gave me this message to preach and this idea just for them. It's for you, it's for us. God wants us to do this, because look at what he says in verse 8. For if these things be in you, and abound. Folks, we've got to learn, in a wise person that's dealing with fire and things, you're going to have extra fuel for the fire. Because you're going to need to keep it going. Yeah, you're going to need to keep it going. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, don't just have one log of virtue. Don't just have one log of knowledge. Don't just have one log of patience. Don't just have one log of temperance. Don't just have one log of charity. Have a whole stack of them. So that when they're needed, you have them to add to your fire, to keep it going for the Lord. God wants us to fuel our fire. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, hey, you're going to be able to produce out of that fire the things that I like out of your life. And folks, that's what I want for our church. I want our church to be sending up things to God that are of a sweet-smelling savor to Him. I want our church and the folks of our church to be sending up to God things that He'd like to smell, things that He'd like to see, things that He'd like to taste out of our lives. Don't you? I know I do. There's a fire burning within us, kindled by the Lord Jesus Christ upon the moment of salvation. We need to fuel that fire. Keep it going. But don't you dare burn the wrong kind of fuel in the fire. God doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. But He does like the right kind. And a whole lot of it. Because He says He wants it to abound in our lives.